Let's do this. Let's do this show. PSN is down. Rocksteady's making a Batman. Sakurai's talking about the Nintendo Direct. Everyone panic. Panic. So says Super Gamecast Daily, your favorite show about video games and video game industry news Monday through Friday. My name is Aaron Reynolds. I'm joined by Mr. Roboto himself, Bronson Fiore. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It's Friday night. I am filled with delicious barbecue.
Ooh.
Arguably too much.
Arguably?
I ate so much brisket and barbecued beans and mac and cheese.
Hell yeah.
And then my girlfriend and I split a banana pudding, and it was fucking delicious.
what an incredible meal. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, our big, like, have a really delicious meal out and about is Friday night.
Uh-huh.
And it's, and, like, we would, you know, it was my turn to pay and my turn to pick, and I was just like, barbecue.
Yes.
No, there you go.
Kick ass. Yeah.
So full.
I bet. I bet. Well, I'm glad you went out and got to barbecue. Because some news did happen on this Friday, February 7th, and one of those news stories means, like, hey, man, I hope you weren't playing Monster Hunter on PlayStation for the beta.
Fuck, I am! Because, I am literally playing it on PlayStation.
PlayStation's down. It's been down for a while.
6 hours and counting, baby!
Yeah, so...
As of this recording...
As of this recording on February 7th, it's been 6 hours. And who knows what'll come back up.
They had an outage like this last year where it was just like, it was also like a full like 18 hours. And I was thinking like, oh God, is this 2011 all over again?
2011 was notorious. That one was rough. And we are in so much more online space now than we were in 2011.
Because like back in 2011, it's like I can play all these games single player. It's no big deal. It's like whatever.
Yep.
Now it's just like half of the shit I'm playing is just perma connected to the internet, and I'm fucked without PSN usage. When it happened last year, I was actually playing Astrobot, which does work without the internet.
Yes, that's good.
But yeah, dude, I just like. This is a service that we pay for. Like in 2011, I wasn't happy about it, but I was like, it's free. So, I mean, you know, but it.
So, okay. First of all, is this PSN like all of PSN, like everyone all over the world? It cannot be online.
Oh, yeah. No, if you go on the Sony support page, it is down.
Ooh.
It is. Then they are. PSN is out.
I was making a joke. It is still a joke.
Oh,
but like Xbox just isn't big enough to warrant being targeted by a DDoS terrorists.
The problem doesn't happen on Steam either, or not nearly as much. Like I feel like at least once or twice a year I get a like significant 5 to 12 hour PlayStation Network outage. You know, and it's just like, you know, I'm paying y'all $10 a month so I can play games on the internet.
And see, this was less of a problem. Like the 2011 one was bad, but we also have to remember the online at that point was free.
Yeah, it was totally free. So it's like, you know, and granted, that one was way crazier because it was like a month to get online play back and then like another couple weeks to get the store back. Oof. And they had to hand out We're Sorry games. I'm not sure if you remember the press conference, but they did the bow.
Yes.
The Kazurai and the executives bowing.
That was the one generation where they're like, we are playing from behind, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're online already, like, was miles behind the competition.
Right. Have we gotten any updates from Sony recently on this issue?
As of right now, no. It's just, yo, dog, PSN is down, and everybody and their mother is reporting on it.
Here, let's click this link.
Sony
here.
Is not.
Yeah.
Sony has not responded to any comments. I will say, after date night, my girlfriend watched Disney Plus on the PlayStation.
All right.
So, Yeah.
So.
And everything is tied to PSN, so you couldn't play it if you wanted to.
Oh, that's incredible! God damn it, man!
If you already have apps downloaded, those work. So like Disney Plus worked.
Oh, okay. All right.
So if you have apps downloaded or single player games that work without internet, like Astrobot, you're probably fine.
That would have been crazy if that didn't work. Wow.
God.
And then this is a huge deal because now the biggest, we just spent yesterday or a couple days. Yeah, it was yesterday talking about how Monster Hunter being the big gigantic monster, especially in Japan, that it is, and it is down during the second beta weekend, the first week of the second beta weekends.
Yep, sure is. I was hoping to play it after this show.
Yep,
I have a computer, but it's not nearly as far into that beta as the PlayStation version is.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So this is good.
I pay $18 a month
because
we have the fancy premium plan because there's some games that Phoebe likes playing on that service.
Sure.
I should probably just buy those games instead and bust down to the regular one. But it's nice when freebies come out, like Plucky Squire and whatnot.
Exactly. No, I get it.
I will say that they did their welcome back. So how long, if this does turn into a 2011 hack, what free games do you think they give away? The last time they gave away, you got to pick 2 out of 5, and they had Dead Nation, Wipeout HD, Infamous, Super Stardust HD, and Little Big Planet. What free games are on the dock?
I don't know. What was coming out for PlayStation in like 2015? Basically.
That far back? I'd say, that's been like 2-3 years back. So I guess like God of War Ragnarok, maybe.
That'd be crazy. Like, I think that'd be nuts. They would be nuts to do that. Maybe the original God of War.
I don't know. Okay, God of War 2018.
Yeah.
So I think it has to be a PS5 game. So I think you have to do Ragnarok.
But, this goes back to that talk of like, yeah, y'all aren't releasing that many PS5 games. Like,
Not nearly as much as they did PS4 and
right,
especially PS3.
I was seeing some chatter. People talk about like they make tons of games for PS5, and like they, there's plenty to play. It's just like compared to what. Considering the amount of games that are coming out in today's time, and then like what's coming out first party and what's like, or like PS5, like AAA titles, just like,
Yeah, you get like 2 to 3 big PS5 exclusives a year.
Right. And then
like that's about, and then it's like, yo, dog, I hope you like third parties.
And, again, when Xbox has been doing what it's been doing up until recently, that's perfectly fine, but it seems to have, because games have gotten bigger and they take longer to develop, I get it, there's less of them, but it's just like, shit, you can't pull from the well as much when something like this happens.
Yeah, you can't just be like I honestly thought about it. I'm like, you probably do Ratchet and Miles Morales. Those are both 4 years old at this point.
I think they'd give away Miles Morales. Did they just recently make a profit with the most recent Ratchet game?
I mean, the Ratchet game like made its money back. All those games made their money back. It's just they took longer than comfortable.
Right.
Like Spider-Man 2 took like 6 months.
I was like, those are the games that are cited when it comes to games that struggle to make a profit. So I'm like, maybe don't give those ones away. Those still need money. I guess the money gets to them either way. I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah, but I don't know. This is like, I think for me, it's unacceptable because you're paying for it now.
Yeah.
And just you're NSO doesn't go down this much.
Right.
Nintendo Switch Online doesn't go down this much.
I don't know much about the nature of the DDoS attacks. I don't know, that much about cybersecurity or anything like that, anything that has to do with this, but it does seem odd that PlayStation is the one that keeps getting hit. And I don't know why that is, but...
Like, it has to be something in the way that they built this network originally. They rebuilt it for... they rebuilt it for PlayStation 4, now 5. And, you know, so it's like you would think it would be fine now.
Right.
Someone just posted PlayStation 3 users are having PTSD. And it's just it's just all the network errors and whatnot. Bad PlayStation characters and violin music.
Yep. Yep. Flashbacks to people online complaining about not being able to play Counter-Strike Go. And I'm sitting there playing Mortal Kombat 9 single player and be like, eh, I know.
So no, it was SOCOM 4. Oh, that outage fucked over a lot of SOCOM games. SOCOM 4,
that's right.
SOCOM 4.
Yep.
It was like I remember the week that outage happened. It was like SOCOM 4, Mortal Kombat 9, and Portal 2 all came out.
Oh, that's right.
All games with significant multiplayer portions.
You know, like a couple of those, like one of those could survive, you know, without it. But yeah, like, come on.
Yeah, like Portal single player was awesome on its own. Yes. Co-op was just icing on the cake.
Yeah.
But like the other two, SOCOM was dead. The second that SOCOM didn't have multiplayer for a month, it was like, oh, that game.
Right.
That poor game.
And that's the thing. So now we're losing, you know, significant time towards the Monster Hunter beta to test servers and whatever else. They're gonna have another weekend for the beta, and then they're gonna have the proper release itself. You would hope that's enough time to prepare, but just sucks that they planned on a certain amount of time and they're getting Friday night for the West here.
And like, did like most of Friday, like you're on the East Coast, you were just fucked because it started at 6 for you. So like you probably just got home from work.
Damn, man.
No.
Or you're talking about East Coast. Like I was thinking like Japan. Yeah. Like this is like what, Saturday?
Oh yeah, it's Saturday.
It's going into Saturday morning. It's like I'm gonna wake up. I'm a gamer in Japan. I'm gonna wake up Saturday morning and play the Monster Hunter beta. Oh wait.
Do you think Capcom is like, yo, PlayStation players, you get a little extra time?
That would be nice.
I wouldn't imagine they would.
That would be nice. They need the time anyway, right?
I mean,
they need to test the servers and test other stuff.
Yeah, like I do think that Capcom doesn't necessarily need the help because that beta was running fine on PlayStation yesterday.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter to give some extra data.
You know? Right, exactly. I don't know. We'll see. They do have another weekend after this one, so we'll see. All right, well, let's get on to a different news story.
Oh, wait, we got breaking news.
Okay.
Breaking news as of like a couple minutes ago. Sony has put out a brief response to the ongoing outage. We are aware some users might be experiencing issues with PSN. For more details, and then a link to the website, the response doesn't contribute much. The link sends users to a network status page that we've all seen.
Great.
So great.
All right, cool.
Awesome. Yeah, and then most people originally thought it was due to a spike in traffic because of Monster Hunter.
Oh.
And it's for sure not only in the United States, but across the world, international users are reporting an outage.
Damn.
Damn. Yep.
All right. Well,
yep. All right.
Well, that's happening. The more things change, the more things stay the same. PlayStation Network is down worldwide again. And hey, Rocksteady is working on a new single player Batman game. Let's do it again. Batman. Let's go.
This time with no Kevin Conroy or Mark Hamill. Yeehaw.
Why'd you have to do that? That's sad.
I have to.
God damn it. So yeah, Rocksteady's coming back to do another one of these.
I guess after Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League bombed,
mm-hmm.
WB said last year, we're moving to what works. And apparently what works is Batman.
So, okay, I guess that VR Batman game did really well, right? Like, it's, people are talking a lot of, talking it up. It's a fun VR game.
Well, they didn't develop that. They,
I know,
they
I know. But, like, interest in the Batman video games post Arkham Asylum has continued to go strong.
Batman is a really appealing character for a video game.
Yeah.
I think that trilogy, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Knight, are all beloved games, especially the first two.
Yeah.
And so people are kind of down for another one.
But how did people feel about Origins?
That wasn't Rocksteady.
Yeah, but it's a Batman game. How did post Arkham Asylum, how they feel about that?
And that came out before Arkham Asylum. But,
Origins?
Yeah, Arkham Origins came out in, like, what, 2013? Yeah. 2012? 2013. Okay, it was 2013. Yeah, Arkham Origins came out in 2013, and it was, like, it was, say, most people thought this is not as good as the other ones, but its story is cool, and this is a fun game.
Arkham Asylum came out in 2009.
Yeah, so it went Asylum 09, City in 11, mm-hmm. Origin in 13, Knight in 15.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was like something either before or after the third one. It wasn't as good as the trilogy.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as the trilogy, but it was liked.
All right, yeah.
Generally liked.
Because
I would say,
we also want to talk about, like, Batman as a character. Like, it makes sense for video games, but we also have to remember before Asylum, like, there were not many good Batman games. Like, I actually personally enjoyed the Batman Begins video game. It was very stealth-oriented. I had fun with it, but it was not like, man, everyone's got to try this Batman game. It's just not what they did.
I really liked the beat-em-up that was loosely connected to the animated series.
Sure.
And I liked that GameCube 3D beat-em-up that was not very good, but I enjoyed it.
Sure, yeah.
Batman Vengeance, it was like an early cel-shaded game, roughly based on also the animated series, published by the fine folks at Ubisoft. He is a great character for a video game, especially by today's standards. It's just,
well,
like,
I mean, since Arkham Asylum was like, oh, you can do combat like this, oh my god, and then the video game industry is like, oh shit, we're gonna lift that.
A lot of games still, like, Arkham stole some stuff from other games, but a lot of other games, like, you know, stole a bunch of shit from Arkham. So now, like, I feel like going back to the Arkham games feels kind of like the root of where a lot of combat is right now.
I mean, yeah, you have to remember before this, it was, you would play Assassin's Creed and it would do the thing where, like, a circle of people, you know, come up around you and then they just would attack, like, one at a time. And so that was what people were kind of doing. And then Arkham Asylum was like, at any time someone's attacking you, you react, and it's fluid and it feels good and it keeps going and it's awesome.
Or it was like DMC, where it was like, yo dog, you're fighting a bunch of punching bags. These are here to style on,
right?
You know,
yeah. And but that, even like Devil May Cry, like, was like a gem that was like held, like Devil May Cry and Bayonetta are like their own genre compared to the combat, the way the combat's treated everywhere else.
Oh yeah, it's like same thing with like Ninja Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden is its own animal. And then, like, I feel like most of the action combat genre turned into Souls-like combat, where it's like animation locking,
like post Arkham Asylum craze.
Yeah, like Arkham died out to for the rise of the Soulsborne.
The roll and iframes.
The roll, the iframes, the
animation lock.
Animation lock, the back shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like those fun things.
Not the good kind of back shots, the whatever back shots.
Yeah. I'd be fine to play this. I liked Origins enough. Like, Origins had a really good story, and Troy Baker did a good job as the Joker in it. So
sure,
I would not be opposed to another one of these. It's just that with the way that trilogy ended, mm-hmm. felt like kind of perfect.
See, what I would love, and I guess we don't know that they're not doing this, but. What I would love is they redo Batman. It's the same people that make the Batman games, and functionally it plays the same, but it's like a different art style. It takes place in a different universe, but it's still all those characters. It's just like rebooted, and then it just feels different.
Oh, yeah. I think that'd be really cool. I think if you want to go real cool with it, you could do the cel-shaded style.
Sure.
You do cell shaded and do animated series, but with new voice actors. Like,
what's the trending art style these days? What do people like?
I'm not sure. I know that Batman.
Make it an RE engine.
There was a Batman show that did pretty okay recently.
Okay.
Called Batman Caped Crusader. It needed a little more personality, but the art was pretty on point.
Okay.
So I think you could do that. It's on Amazon if you ever want to watch it.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I think it's been a while since I've played Batman, to be fair. Like, I enjoyed that, and then I felt like I'm someone who will enjoy something when it's of the moment, and then I'm quick to move on to find the next thing. So I didn't play too much Batman post Arkham Asylum, but, you know, it seemed like it was doing its thing. I was like, hell yeah, it's still doing that. Hell yeah, that's great.
I'm one of the few people that's like, Knight was the best one.
Okay.
Like, even if the there's too much Batmobile, but everything else about that game is the best of that series.
I've heard complaints about the Batmobile, which makes me curious, because I think the Batmobile as a concept is cool as hell.
It's so much fucking Batmobile. They made a Batmobile, and they were like, it's going to be a tank. It's going to be used for puzzles. It's going to be used for fucking racing on these Riddler racetrack trials.
What?
Like, okay. Yeah, like, we are going to fucking use the Batmobile. We're going to make it so you fuckers hate the Batmobile by the time we're done with this shit.
Well, it's funny. Traversal is one of my favorite things in video games. And Batman without the Batmobile is fantastic to, you know, throw the grappling hook and glide and do all your crazy shit. There's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Batmobile seems like a great way to get from one part of a city to another when you're on a larger map. And I could definitely see some fun, like, racing against fucking gang cars or something. I don't know, man. There's something to be done.
They have some stuff with that. They have, like, it also makes it so you can launch yourself out of the Batmobile to get a running glide, basically.
Ooh, okay.
Like, that was cool. Like, they have a lot of cool shit with the Batmobile in that game. It's just that, like, there's so many Batmobile tank missions. It's like, it's a lot.
Screw this, man. All right, yeah. Well, everything you need to make a fun Batman game is there. I just hope they don't do another one of those. Like specific, like, exactly another one of those and, like, expand on the story or something. And it's just like, God. All right. If it plays well, if it plays well, whatever, you know? All right, well, hey, let's shift into something completely different. Football Manager 25, these games are popular, and they come out yearly, as would indicate by the year there, but they delayed it a bunch, and then they couldn't get it together, and so it's been canceled. It seems sounds like it's the right move. I was reading in the article here, down at the end, they put their notice up, which is nice. They explained themselves, and they said that they were trying to update. They were trying to implement an entirely new graphics system using the Unity engine, which they quote said would mark the starting point for the studio's next 20 years. Which, you know, as someone who's a big fan of Pokemon, yeah, okay. But it sounds like they were trying to they're trying to update this game to, it was like a real significant update, and it sounds like it just like, we cannot get this done and around in 1 year. I'm sorry. Which,
and
yeah,
that's unfortunate. And apparently the old one is going away in March.
What?
Oh, wait, no, okay, so that was an old story.
Okay.
Apparently it was going to go away when the new one came out, but the new one's not coming out.
You so. Probably shouldn't, you probably should leave that up. I saw a comment saying, hey, you should, like, update rosters or something. You know, might want to at least, like, keep that updated for another year.
This goes back to my problem with, like, 99% of yearly sports games is they can legitimately be roster updates and patches.
So for this one they're implementing a whole new graphic system and doing some other stuff. Apparently this is the game where they're implementing women's soccer as well. Don't want to harken back to the Gamergate era. It's hard to code women thing, but yeah. So, but someone was commenting in the Twitter thread of like, you know, if y'all for these yearly releases just did like a subscription specifically for this and then you just updated it like yearly, or even not even just yearly, just like you're updating it constantly, like not just rosters and all that, but like, you know, updating the game itself. And it, because people that play these games are buying them yearly anyway.
Yes. Well, me and Anthony are Madden guys.
Yeah.
Or those people. And like, yeah, we buy it every year. We typically don't buy it at launch. We wait till Black Friday roll around, so it's like half off. Mm. Like, we play Madden every year, and we go in, and we both turn the Broncos into Bears into unstoppable dynasties. But like, there's not that many changes year to year. Like, for most people, I would say you could wait 1 or like 2 to 3 years between Maddens and be fine. I think every now and then. So like, I just sit here and I feel like EA wastes a lot of time and money trying to refine this yearly to sell it yearly, where I'm just like, bro, you could just legitimately turn this into a live service game and make it run forever.
There's a couple games and franchises where like, I don't want to give them ideas on one hand, but on the other hand, it's like in this age of increasingly live service, there are some games and franchises where that just makes sense and they're not doing it, but they honestly should.
Yes, like I think that taking Madden and like, you know, doing a $10 a month monthly subscription, because like the problem with people like me is like I only play franchise mode and head-to-head online,
right?
Those are the only parts of that game I touch at all. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, okay, well, that's the game for me. So like, I'm not the person funneling money into this yearly, like from the perspective of what actually makes the money, which is Gotcha. I mean, Ultimate Team.
Yep.
You know. So you could easily say, hey, every year your Ultimate Team is going to expire, because that's what it's doing anyway when you have to move to the new one.
Right.
And every year we're doing a big roster update. We're going to update some features and do all the shit we do in the current game. Because like, you go on their current, this is what they added this year. I shit you not, this is one of the thinnest years ever.
Uh-huh.
Boom tech, new physics, informed dynamic tackling system on the new consoles that unlocks realistic collisions and new gameplay animations.
Truck stick.
Immerse yourself. Franchise and presentation. Immerse yourself in game day action like never before with franchise updates, rebuilt NFL draft experience, environmental environments, and multiple broadcast teams. Mm-hmm. That I will say was impressive. I thought it was really cool that depending on when I was playing the game, I would have a different broadcast team.
That's cool. Yeah.
Live game modes, new Ultimate Team rewards, feature releases, themed programs, live playbook updates, and style updates and skill customization that goes on throughout the year. So I'm like already seeing it, like you're already treating this like a live service game that just everyone pays $60 for every year.
Yeah. See, here's my worry is they do like a $5 a month live service, so they get their $60, and then or they like go $6 a month, and then yearly it's $60, like you're paying for the thing, and then the price increases next year, and then it increases again the next year, and then people say, oh god, why did we do this?
I think part of the reason why that they're not doing this is because the NFL wants a physical product that you can give to little Timmy to get him into football more.
Yeah.
You can be like, here, little Timmy, enjoy your Madden. Yeah. You know?
Enjoy getting your ass stomped online.
Yeah, by me. I played my first Madden online game in over a year last night, and I beat the dude 35-0.
There you go. Yep. This is why I play franchise mode. That's what I do.
Yeah, but there's only so many times you can blow out the computer on all Madden to where you're like, I need to burn some.
And that's where you're wrong if you're me. I'm gonna fuck this computer up every day for years on end, and it will get better every time. So yeah, but yeah, no, a lot of people feet are about that competition. I get it. So
yeah, I played MLB The Show, and that kind of was interesting. MLB The Show seems like the one baseball game that it feels like it, or the one sports game that feels like it's still trying a little bit.
It really is. Like I have a friend that's trying to get me to get the show, and I'm like, I'm juggling these other games, but then I watch the trailer, and it's like they are adding stuff and trying stuff. They added high school. You play a little bit of high school, and then you go into play through college and then into pro. They really try, and it's got to be the point where it's like, I got a PS5. What if I just go play it? What if I play it?
What if I just, yeah, I did the show a couple years ago, and I had a great time.
Those games are great.
And they've added first person.
Yes, they added first person
baseball.
This 2K5.
Yeah, like, oh god, dude, I was like, oh
yeah, it's awesome.
If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl this year, I'm a big baseball man.
Well, that's my problem. Is baseball happens almost exactly the opposite of football season. So I enjoy baseball on a casual level all times. It's been for me. It's like, do I pick up basketball? Or do I pick up hockey to replace football for a little while? And it's been a tough choice, actually.
I would have, if I'm in that decision, I'm going hockey. And then the reason I'm going hockey is because like, the NBA is like, oh, here it has the problem that that baseball also has, but even worse. Where it's like, yeah, here are the five teams that matter.
Yeah.
Are you the Nuggets, the Celtics, the Warriors,
the Lakers?
The Lakers, like, cool.
And then people are just making trades and giving absolute superstars to the front runner teams, like. Great, y'all are just in on this. The people that run the league and the players are just like, I don't fucking know, man. We're gonna do the best we can.
Yep.
Awesome.
So
yeah, that drama's been fun with the NBA. So I gotta go check out hockey, see what's going on over there.
I'm gonna pay attention to football still, but only the Broncos.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. If the Chiefs don't win the Super Bowl and evil is defeated for a year, I will be
I'll be happy for Saquon Barkley.
I will be stoked for that man.
Yeah.
I still love the story of he left the Giants, his daughter asking him, do we get to win?
Yes, sweetie, yes we do. Oh my god. Yeah, after this podcast is over, I want to talk about some NFL headlines I read a couple hours before, because I was like, well, I've been away from football a little bit, let's see what's going on over there. And let's next story. Here's something that's fun. It's kind of a nothing burger, but maybe it isn't. Everyone stay calm. Sakurai has retweeted the Nintendo Direct date and time announcement. He said, ooh.
Sakurai, no! Please stop giving your blood! Please!
You made the ultimate game. You called it ultimate, and it lived up to it. You don't have to do this to yourself.
It wasn't ultimate enough, apparently.
But maybe they don't. Maybe he's just reacting. He's just being a fan, and it's like, oh yay! And then we're carrying Ultimate over to Switch 2, and then like you were commenting like, yeah, what do they bring over Ultimate Deluxe? Like, what work could he possibly be doing on that?
He's making sure all the graphics and animations are perfect and doing like 10 new characters.
Oh god, if they added more characters. Well, I mean, that's what they should do. Going back to like, you know, games that could probably just go live service is like just make Smash Bros. Ultimate like a thing you just add on the roster forever.
I think you could have made that argument about Mario Kart 8, but they're doing 24 player Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So I think for Smash Brothers, you know, Smash 4 did 8-player Smash. We're doing 12 players.
So I don't think the games could handle this, but imagine a very big map, 100 people playing Smash, and the screen gets smaller, and you've got to survive.
Battle Royale Smash. I like the idea. I don't want the map getting smaller. What I want is like, okay, you have one person in the middle, and then just four people come down and fight him, or three, and it's just a set of three, and
that's a fun idea. If they're like a crowd Smash around, okay.
Yeah, it's like it's still 4-player Smash, but just he gets three people from the crowd
Royal
thrown
Rumble
in every
is
time
what
he
you
knocks
want.
Yeah, I want Royal Rumble Smash.
That would
Bros.
Be awesome. Yes,
that would be sick.
And then every time the buzzer would sound, and then your character's main theme would play, and you'd jump in. That'd be so sick.
Oh, no, like, yeah, you get, you know, you, let's say you're playing Bowser and it's, you're about to come up.
The Japanese love pro wrestling. They should do this. They should do this.
I would be so fucking happy for this.
So this could be nothing. Who knows? But man, if we got another like 10 characters added, and then like we have to go through the whole drama of like polling and getting 10 more, I would love that. But it would be hilarious.
It's the best. The fan vote is the best part of the Smash process.
It kind of is.
It really is, because you just get, because you have people like me who are voting for characters that are never going to make it.
Right.
Because I remember like, I was in the Matt McMuscles group of like trying to get people to vote for Wonder Red.
Yeah.
Like we were all Wonder Red. Come on. No one gave a shit.
No. I mean, as long as, but who owns Beautiful Joe?
Capcom.
Okay.
Capcom.
They should get Beautiful Joe in there. Beautiful Joe is like, as a person, as a physical thing, he is built for Smash Brothers.
Yeah, he is. You know, you can have a thing where you hold down B button and he moves super fast, and A, he makes people around him slow. Like, yeah,
you would have to put some heavy control on slowing down other people.
I think you'd have to do what Bayonetta does, where the timing window is just super tiny.
Maybe.
Just Bayonetta, because if Bayonetta uses her counter, she puts you in a slow state.
Okay. I see. All right. Well, that makes sense. If they were to do something like that, that would be good. I was thinking Travis Touchdown.
Yeah, fucking Travis Touchdown.
I think that'd be so good.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of like things that are like Nintendo adjacent that aren't in it already. I think that getting a Monster Hunter monster could be cool.
That would be, I don't know, that seems like a map.
Oh yeah, well it is. They already have an item. Like they have a Rathalos item. So I guess maybe you could bring in like the Monster Hunter. You know, like how Marvel's Capcom Infinite had the Monster Hunter character.
And then they just called
Monster Hunter.
Like a Palico standing out in the background, and then it will just automatically start fetching items. So like if Monster Hunter's on the map, you have to be very aware.
I think you could do that. I'm already thinking about this. I'm already thinking about like, we are expecting more blood from this man. Those of you who don't know, Sakurai, the man behind Smash Brothers, works like 18-hour days, sleeps under his desk. Like, every one of these games is like blood for the blood god. Fucking,
it's why, like, I'm fine with like him working on some characters and balancing and all that, but like, don't make a new game. This game's good. You did it. Like, make maps, make, like, characters. That's fine.
Make it, you know, pretty it up a little bit. Maybe sure. Tune the online up a little bit. Like, touches.
Yes.
And some new characters. Not like, you know, not blood for the blood god. You need to do it in game.
We don't need to make another one of these. You made it. It's ultimate for a reason. You don't need to make another one of these.
That man's going to be on his deathbed making a new Smash Brothers game.
Yeah. Well, I
mean, he's gonna be in like the hospital bed with a laptop, just directing the team.
You know that when people were talking about members of Congress like going to their dying breaths, wielding power over a country, I'm like, that sucks. But there's also a part of me that's like, if I stopped doing anything of importance at my old age and stopped for a moment, I would wither away and die. And I feel like doing game development where you're just, I am committing myself to this 100%, doesn't seem like a terrible way to go. He just goes, it sounds like he goes too far. That poor guy.
Yeah, like the stories you hear about Masahiro Sakurai are crazy, dude.
If that's the way you want to live, man, I guess. But just know that we're not asking that of you.
Look, Sakurai, if you want to sacrifice blood to the blood god to get a Smash Bros. Ultimate Deluxe, we're not going to stop you, but we are going to question you.
Just take care of yourself. Do you want some water? I can run to the kitchen. I'll get you some water. You know, like, can you sleep? Can you sleep for a little bit, please?
I don't know. Was he the person where they announced a new Smash Brothers game? And he was in the audience, and they were like, oh, I guess I'm doing a new Smash Brothers game.
Yes, yes, I believe so. that was the real, like, oh, Sakurai. Oh, poor guy. That sucks. It's a real shame. It's awesome as a game developer, but it's like, as a worker, I'm just like, your game that you made is now one of the biggest franchises in all of video games. There are consequences to this. They're working on a new Mario Kart. We saw a first glimpse. That's, you know, we used to be Mario and Zelda. Mario and Zelda are big tent poles for Nintendo, but the big two now are like Mario Kart and Smash Bros. And so we got view of Mario Kart.
And I think that the pandemic created a whole new tent pole of Animal Crossing.
Which was already growing, but man, that COVID era just like that hit at the perfect time. Man.
Like Animal Crossing sold like, I want to say it's like 40 million copies. Like it's, you know, like it sold something crazy. Hold on. I can get that number for you real quick. Yeah, 47 million. It's the second best selling game on the Switch.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think they're going to reach. I can't imagine they're going to reach those numbers again, you know, in a non-COVID world, but...
Yeah, their top five are Mario, Zelda, Smash, Animal Crossing, and Mario Kart.
In that order?
Yes, from bottom to top. So Mario Kart's the most,
yep.
Then Animal Crossing, then Smash, then Zelda, then Mario.
Wow. Yeah, so
and then then it's Pokemon for 6 and 7, yep. Zelda for 8,
yep.
Mario Party for 9, yep. And then another Mario game at 10.
There you go. That's
and they lost Switch Sports at 11.
Wow. Yeah. People still going strong. That's awesome. Well, I would love for them to read the packet I sent them on Pokemon Animal Crossing. I think they would do very well, but who knows, you know. See what happens there.
I would love for them to ever take F-Zero out of the basement,
man,
or take
in this world where we don't have Wipeout anymore. Like we are dying.
Yep.
There's some indie releases that have been trying to capture the magic, and like they're fine. They're good.
They did F-Zero 99.
Oh man, yes,
fucking F-Zero 99.
The game was great. Yeah.
It was awesome. Like, do a real one.
Yeah.
And then Little Mac is just chained in the basement forever, never to be seen again.
Star Fox's carcass is down on the floor. Like, his head is just smeared along the floor after that last release. And just like, well, we're not reviving you. I would love to.
When we come back.
There are a whole bunch of Star Fox fans, man. They are, people love Star Fox, and they just cannot seem to figure that out. Metroid's alive, though.
Doing well, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Dread really helped them rebound.
Yeah. All right, well, that's enough of that. I'm excited to talk with you about this story.
All right, yes.
World of Warcraft has unveiled, they getting houses. They got housing now.
Yeah.
Huh.
Not only are they getting housing, I kind of feel like they're talking a little bit of shit.
You kind of feel that way? What tipped you off to that?
The fact that they're like, yeah, there's no lottery, no exorbitant requirements that I purchase cost, no onerous upkeep. If your subscription lapses, don't worry, your house won't get repoed. I feel like they just looked at 14 and just held up double middle fingers.
I mean, they are taking on. So Final Fantasy 14 obviously lifted a lot of stuff from World of Warcraft to save something of what they had, made a fantastic MMO. While World of Warcraft hit a low with Shadowlands, and so there were people trying out 14, and now 14 is going through a weird moment, and some people are trying out World of Warcraft now that they're at a high at this moment, but. This seems like the first I've seen of like World of Warcraft being like, you know, you casual, like comfy people, we got some stuff for you.
I feel like World of Warcraft has always had a stealth casual audience.
Yes, Moonguard can attest.
Yeah, like, and this might be, you know, because I am, for the past 2 years, have been on Moonguard, I might just be being exposed to a lot more.
Sure.
But it feels like World of Warcraft, ever since Dragonflight, has done their best to try and appease casuals as well as the turbo sweaties.
Right.
Like, they've added a lot more story content and casual questing content. They've added, like, this dragon riding thing that's like, here, go race out in the open world. You know, they added like a hot spring and a tea club that people could RP at with the Dragon Isles. They've done this progression path that's entirely single player called Delves, basically dungeons for solo players. And I feel like they're really targeting that casual player recently. You know, because like they've cornered the hardcore market, in my opinion.
Oh yeah,
like they have Raid, they have Mythic Plus. Like, if you want the hardcore experience in MMO, go play World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. So now they're going after the casuals, and for casuals and hardcore, housing has been requested forever.
Yeah,
since vanilla, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Wow.
You know, and we kind of got a taste of garrisons, but that was like way too much progression. Like, they gave you too much power because you could mine in your garrison, you use an auction house. You had no reason to go out in the world.
Wow, okay.
The parts of this that are really interesting are, not only can you have public zones for neighborhoods that are 50 plots apiece, but you also have private ones.
Yeah.
So you and your friend can just make a whole neighborhood.
That sounds awesome.
You can just make a whole neighborhood. Now, they did say that for the whole warband, so for all your characters, we'll be able to go there and use it. The zones are faction specific. So if you're like an alliance character, you can't buy like some shit in a horde desert.
Right.
And on the opposite side, if you're a horde character, you can't buy something in an alliance forest.
So if anything, if you're interested in going to the other side, then you start a character that's of that faction. And yes, get to whatever level I'm sure the requirement is, and then you go.
You go like, yep, I have a house here now.
So yeah, if anything, it incentivizes people trying out the other side.
Yes. It's main. So the neighborhoods are maintained by game service and are created as needed. There's no clear limit yet on neighborhoods. And then they also said that they intend for most of the stuff for the houses to be earned in game. There are still going to be some store items.
Not surprised.
But no, not surprised at all.
Yeah.
I will say WoW store is far less gross or crazy than the 14 one.
Sure.
They don't charge you $7 for an emote, for example.
Yet.
So yeah, and then you can invite anyone, your friend, over. So cross housing. So if you want to invite your friends over, that's fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think
this is great.
And you
can progress and customize them together. And I think this is awesome. And I think that I think WoW is genuinely trying to get more of the 14 player base to come over.
Yeah.
I think that they've done a pretty good job of it. We actually do have a fair amount of, like, 3 or 4 14 players in my guild.
Sure.
Not including Anthony, who kind of just plays WoW to hang out with me.
Right, right.
He says he prefers it as a game, but even then he's not into MMOs, which, you know, I get.
Yeah. I was sitting here thinking about, like, one of the main things I enjoy. I've realized there's at least two, and I need to think on it more and find more examples, but there's like two pillars of things that I really enjoy in a video game. And one is fun in traversal, like just having fun moving around, doing stuff, and just like doing fun stuff while basically doing nothing, like you're not on a mission or something like that. Skate does this, Burnout Paradise does this, Spider-Man does this. Another thing is just like I want a place where people like are just having fun hanging out, and this is something that as bad as it was, PlayStation Home did it for me. It's why I would love to get more into VR chat, despite all the mess that is. I do like those kinds of virtual spaces, and I think that's what draws me to MMOs, is here are these public spaces where just dozens of people are coming to hang out. It's for me with World of Warcraft specifically, but also just MMOs in general, I find the gameplay is never very engaging for me compared to other video games.
That is understandable. What I would describe World of Warcraft's gameplay as is like, it is the best for an MMO.
Sure.
That is the best way I would describe it. Like, it is the top of the mountain. I think the only exception is I think raiding is better in Destiny. I think Destiny rating is like peak rating.
If we're counting gameplay from like Destiny for MMO gameplay, then I guess I would put Destiny at the top because it plays like a shooter, not an MMO. But
that's fair. I think Destiny's systems are gross and annoying in comparison to WoW.
Oh God! Oh my God! Yes, yes, 100%. But just like just playing the game, it's like Destiny and Warframe, you know, to a lesser degree, just because they're like. It's not this like cooldown system and managing 20 buttons and watching to see where, you know what I mean? The traditional MMO system.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think that, I think that definitely if you come back to WoW, move your character to Moonguard.
Yes.
Because Moonguard has a lot of that. Like, I guarantee you, I could go log into Moonguard right this fucking moment. And if I fly to the inn in Goldshire, there's going to be a squad of people readying to RP up. Like, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, but how much of the World of Warcraft do you know to RP?
Not much.
Okay.
And there's, like, whole add-ons for it. In WoW, add-ons are totally fine, and like you'll load up add-on, and like they have this profile one to tell you what people are looking for. So like there are people on there doing, you know, normal RP, they're sexy RP. I wish Avian still played the game, because they'd probably be very good to introduce you to that stuff. Because I'm an observer. I'm like there to hang out and duel people in the town square.
Well, like, so that's the thing. I like hanging out, and then here's just our virtual avatars. It's like what we were doing when we were playing Space Marine 2, and we were all in our armor, standing in that room talking. I was like, yeah, this is the good stuff.
Yeah, and I actually think you'd really enjoy like normal mode raid with our guild because no one gives a fuck.
Right.
Like, you it's know, just, show. Oh,
God.
Show.
Yeah.
Show up to normal mode, and then the second that we hit heroic, you'd be like, all right, I'm out.
Right, right.
There you go.
And I will say, like, despite not knowing whether I'm doing any good at the character, I don't feel like any feedback from actually fighting the monsters or anything. I will say Demon Hunter has been fun in some respects, despite those shortcomings is the right word. Yeah. But, yeah.
So this is just a me thing personally, but like I will say that if there's one thing that World of Warcraft, like Blizzard in general, but World of Warcraft and Diablo in particular, they make the number pop, like when you get a crit or something happens on screen,
yeah,
they make the number look and feel good, and it makes the chemical in my brain happen.
This won't fix it, but I would love if, like, do they have controller support?
They have a mod for controller support.
They have a mod for controller support. Okay. It'd be cool if they would use the strength of the vibration depends on how hard you hit. That would be fun.
I'm sure that if you message the console port, that's the name of the add-on, console port people, mm-hmm. like, hey, do we want this? They'd probably be like, oh, yeah, we might be able to make that happen. Yeah, so Moonguard is an East Coast server, and there's, like, still just, like, a crowd of people set up Old Shire right now.
Yeah.
Like, I decided to pull it up. Holy shit. Yeah, this inn is fucking packed. Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
I don't want a sexy RP as a demon hunter. That just seems, I don't know.
Oh, you can sex the RP as whatever you want.
No, you're right. No, this is my weirdness. these are my issues that we don't have to get into onto this podcast. But yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about this since, like, I do want to go back in, but I also, like, kind of want to level a new character, and that means playing, you know, through Dragonflight all over again, which isn't necessarily bad. It's just like, all right, as someone who's not it is. I just, like, am not getting into the gameplay as much, which is frustrating.
I can understand that. I mean, I'm sure I could hit up Anthony, because I'm currently leveling a character who's, like, only level 30. Like, I have a healer I'm leveling that's, like, level 30, so...
Well, what's funny is I'm leveling a healer myself.
Oh, well, fuck it. I can just play Shadow then, I guess. Right. Yeah, that's fine. What healer are you leveling?
Oh, that's a very good question. Probably the what's the healing monk?
Oh, a monk. Okay, no, yeah, there you go. That's fine.
Mist Weaver, Mist or whatever. Weaver. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I would love for SGK to get into WoW and make an SGK village.
Listener at home or watcher at home, let me tell you, you should join our Discord, first of all. But second of all, Bronson has been on a tear. Like, anytime an opportunity comes, like a news story like this comes around, it's like, all right, who's the 14 player I can snag today? Come on, come to the other side. And I'm sitting here like, this housing's really cool. When's this coming out? It's like maybe 2026. I'm like,
okay. It's like midnight. Yeah, it's like midnight. But we're getting cars and apartments next patch.
That's funny.
Which is in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Like, we're getting, like, those cars that you can customize, and it's like an arcade racing game, but in World of Warcraft.
That sounds really cool. And then of course, we decided to do this channel where we are going to be covering video games 5 days a week on top of trying to do reviews and keeping up with the industry. Man, keeping up with an MMO during all that is difficult.
I already know that, like, I kind of have had to develop a way where, like, okay, Sunday I'm entirely free.
Yep.
So Sunday is the day where I'm going to have to just play WoW most of the day. That's it. That's the answer.
Because you're also playing Marvel Rivals. You're checking out the Monster Hunter beta. There are other games coming out.
I'm reviewing Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii. Now, I will say Marvel Rivals, I already hit my goal for the season, so I'm kind of done.
Oh, okay.
I hit gold. So I hit gold. I got the skin. I can take a break. That's actually one thing I really appreciate about WoW is they don't piecemeal content besides story anymore.
Okay.
So they're just like, if you can hit 2K and AOTC first week of the season, all right, bro, you're done. You did it. Good job.
Okay. All right. That's nice.
You know, I absolutely love that there are people at my guild. It's like, yeah, we got KSM first week of the season. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, boys.
All right. Well, then I don't know. We'll have a talk about this after the show.
Anytime some of the Discord like discusses displeasure with 14, I'm just like, coward hiding in the shadows.
Yeah. We could get into problems with Final Fantasy 14, but as someone who's just casual and I don't care much about like the harder end gameplay, which is where a lot of the drama is. I'm just like, Can you let me mod shit? Can you not be weird about this, please? Like, that would make
this
whole...
you mod shit.
I know. Like, I'm someone who did not mind going back to the freaking original news story this all came out of. Like, I did not mind that they, like, there was a limited amount of housing. It was like, in a weird way, I felt like that kind of made it like, all right, let's work toward it. And I went and checked housing like a few weeks ago, and there were a couple plots that were free and open. I just needed the money, which, of course, I didn't have. But, you know... But on the other end, like having just, it's free. You're like, you, it will not be hard to get a house and you can have private and public. Like, that's awesome. That's great. I'm down with that too.
That's killer.
Yeah. So,
that's killer.
I think that's fantastic. I think the casual community will really enjoy it, especially if Final Fantasy 14 does not have anything really going on by the time this comes out. So, we'll see.
Midnight coming next year. Where if the current WoW timeline, because they ever since Dragonflight, they have been on a consistent 6 months major content patch, like money,
right?
Every 6 months,
okay,
and then with mini patches in between. So that means we're going to be looking at one in August, and then the next expansion would be out probably in April or May of 26.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yep. Well, all right. We got a couple more news stories. Let's knock these out here. This one will probably take us.
We ran long day, but it's Friday.
Exactly. That's why we're talking about football and shit. If you're wondering why we're just kind of going off, it's Friday, man. This is our day. We get to have a day.
We get to have a day, and you get to wonder, why are they talking about football in World of Warcraft?
Look, if you listen to this show, you know exactly why we're talking about football in World of Warcraft. All right. So, hey, ex-BioWare lead said he'd quit EA if EA mandated live service elements. So this is isn't he the guy running the game coming out soon here, Eternal Strands?
I'll have to check. I believe that's correct.
I believe he is. I don't know.
Which that game came out. Anthony's playing it right now, actually.
Oh, okay. That's out.
That's out. And he's working on Eternal. That game came out, and he's at Eternal. You know, he worked on Eternal Strands, which, kind of seems getting decent reviews, but a lot of people are like, it kind of feels like a proof of concept for what'll be a sequel.
Oh,
that's kind of what like it feels like. Hey, this is this neat idea. Hopefully, we can expand it in another one. Finger guns.
I mean, you know, there's worse ways to handle creating a brand new game, I guess. I've heard Kingdoms of Amalur mentioned while talking about this game, so which people like that game.
I've heard Shadow of the Colossus. The reviews for it are kind of weird because there are reviews as high as like 80s, but then there are some that are as low as 50s.
I mean, are you looking on Metacritic, or are you talking?
I'm looking at like critic reviews on Metacritic. Okay. And then user reviews are averaging a 6.6. So they on Metacritic, they're not like significantly better.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I like someone taking a swing at making something new.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, I can't think of better publicity than being a former lead at this studio talking shit about this studio while this studio has gone and done a thing, and then their CEO went and did a thing, and everyone's kind of real mad.
Yeah. Also, this game is on Game Pass for anyone who wants to try it.
Eternal Strands.
So, yep.
Good. Yes. If you got Game Pass, that's why Game Pass is there, is for you to try a game like this.
Yeah, I think that he said, he said that like, hey, I'll move. And they were like live service Dragon Age. Dread Wolf, he's like bad.
Yeah, he said if the CEO was, we covered it recently earlier this week, like CEO was like, hey, what was the weird corporate speak? I mean, it's not weird, it's something that we've been very exposed to. To break beyond the core audience, games need to directly connect to the evolving demands of players who increasingly seek shared world features and deeper engagement alongside high-quality narratives in this beloved category. Someone who sounds like they understand video games, but it's also super, I don't know, corporate speak, sort of. Not quite, but just like...
It's a little off. It's
deeper engagement, huh? Okay. Shared world features... Like, it sounds like a CEO communicating this to investors and then just hoping that they're okay with what he said. But then the ex-lead who was releasing this game was just like, yeah, if he told that to me while trying to get me to work on this game, I would be gone. But this is also the guy who wrote the original Dragon Age Origins, I believe. Like, and he's worked on a couple games like that. He's like partly responsible for the thing that made Dragon Age what it is, and it's the reason people are mad is because the game, the most recent Dragon Age, is absolutely not the thing that the first game was, which is what people have been dying for.
Yes, and the game that was that is Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes, and now you have Baldur's Gate 3, and great. The things that the CEO said, like, yeah, we want this, and you know, like that bit of high quality narratives. I mean, that's true, but like, of course, well, who doesn't want higher quality narratives? It didn't sound like he was saying like we need to go back to Dragon Age Origins. It just sounded like here's the things that are trending in this genre, and it's like, okay. I don't get the impression y'all get it.
Look, and the thing is not everyone who works in games is going to understand games.
Right.
But you also have to, as the person who is running the studio or running the company or running the publisher, whatever it is, you have to listen to the people below you who do know games and understand that. Look, Dragon Age Origins had a limited market. It's not going to be the biggest thing in your portfolio. It's not going to beat Star Wars. It's not going to beat your sports games. It's going to be like, it may make money if you don't bungle the development, which you did.
Right.
You know, like, that's just what it is. And you're like, well, what about Baldur's Gate 3? I'm like, yeah, dude, Baldur's Gate 3 is a better game than Dragon Age Origins was, even at the time of Dragon Age Origins' release.
Yeah.
It's more polished.
Ugh.
It has more talent behind it. Like, it just is.
Yep.
And that's fine. I think that, like, a lot of publishers have this fantasy of where the money is. Just like, this thing is going to make $1 billion. And it's just like, that kind of game will never make that amount of money. Why would you think that?
Yeah. It's
I sent you that clip from Castle Super Beast last year where it's like, investors exist to be lied to.
Right.
And, you know, like, the reason Demon Souls exists, or which is what led to Dark Souls, is Shuhei Yoshida asked for an Oblivion clone for the PlayStation, and fucking Thumb Software was just like, oh yeah, we can make an RPG, a fantasy RPG, wink, wink.
Yep.
And they played it and said this was trash and it would never sell.
Yep.
And then gave it, and then like he published it in Japan and Europe, and then was like, yo, Atlas, do you want to publish this in America? And they're like, yeah, sure, why not?
Yep.
And it blew up.
And it blew up.
And, yeah, and there's all kinds of stories like this that happen constantly. You know, like, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just, yeah. When you go along with people who are not in on what makes games great, it sucks to be like, I got to lie to this guy to try. I got to lie to the person that's giving us the money to make this game in order to make something that people will want. But I guess that's the reality, you know? Because when you just go along with it, you get this.
So, and then, like, it's this thing where, like, investors are putting a lot of pressure on the company, but you as a company have to trust your artists and go to your investors and say, no, that's stupid, but say it in a nice way.
Right.
Like that's basically, you know, they have to frame the way it's like, well, we need to do what got us here, and we need to focus on quality and not rushing it out the door. Like, I think the Monster Hunter one they use is like, wouldn't Monster Hunter make more money now if we just put it out now? And then they're like, no, well, no, because you have to like put this out, like, we need it to be finished and good.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and they had to explain that in a way investor will understand. The way that someone just the comments described it was, wouldn't your bakery make more money if you baked your cakes at 1300 degrees for 15 minutes instead of 325 degrees for an hour?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So
wouldn't the baby be born sooner if we added more women to this pregnancy?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, you know, and so, like, this is not yet another chance to shit on Veilguard. Like, the people that worked on this game, I think, personally, I think, you know, some of them had passion for various elements of it, and they probably enjoy the game itself. They're probably pretty okay with what they made. It's just that they made a game in Dragon Age that isn't the Dragon Age that people wanted, and they went into that project seemingly kind of knowing that. And then it was, like, a live service game that they then had to change to single player. It's like that report said, it's amazing it even came out given what happened. But just another thing where the business people are messing it up. So
yeah.
Well, so Eternal Strands, that comment is just here to say, hey, Eternal Strands is out. Maybe take a look at it. Maybe you like it. Maybe you don't. We'll see.
Yeah. Hey, we got a review of that coming. Anthony's working on it.
Cool. Finally, a little bit of fun. Warrior Land 4 is coming to Switch Online.
The game's good.
Is it?
I like those games. I like 3 and 4. Okay. Yeah, that's a fun little puzzle platformer game.
All right.
I really enjoyed playing that on the Game Boy Color. I played 3 on the Game Boy Color and 4 is on the Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
I recommend.
All right, yeah.
You don't have someone on Valentine's Day, Wario is here for you.
I really hope they have in the store. It's just Wario's face with like a heart background. It just says Wario is for lovers. I think it's a winning. I think it's a winning marketing strategy.
And we have our podcast title for the week or for the day. Sorry.
There we go. Yeah, so for the day now. And you know what? That wraps up the news for our first week as SGK Daily. Wow.
Hey, what's up? All right. Hey, well,
yeah. Go for it.
We'll Let's say we'll see them on Monday if we're catching it live, Tuesday otherwise, right?
Hey, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we got a whole weekend coming up here. You might be playing Monster Hunter. You might be playing Civ. You might be playing who knows what. But let me tell you, if you want to keep up to date on what we're doing, what we're talking about, we're on socials. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, TikTok, all that stuff.
Super Gamecraft everywhere.
Everywhere.
Super Gamecraft the world.
Thank you, Dio. We also have a Discord. If you want to go to our Twitch channel, do we have a link on our YouTube channel? I don't know if we have that there, but we should.
No, but it is on our Twitch.
Okay, so
most other places.
Join the Discord channel. That's where we're having conversations about video games and whatever else. Yeah, you can keep in contact with us there. You can listen to the podcast for previous episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We're keeping it going. We will not be on Saturday or Sunday. We will be back Monday, February 10th. Is that correct? I don't know dates. Yeah, February 10th. We'll be back for another episode of SGK Daily for your video game and video game industry news. Be on the lookout. We here. Anyway,
I will say, hey, if you didn't watch the full show, you tuned in late. Guess what? There are going to be clips from this one available Saturday, though.
Oh, yeah.
You get 6 days a week of content from us, you beautiful people.
We are making sure you're staying up to date.
This week you might be getting 7. Game Cave might be out on Sunday.
Hell yeah, Game Cave. Be on the lookout for some good edited video content there. Anyway, thank you all for coming and joining us for our first week of this new show. We hope you enjoy it, and we'll come back next week for more. See you later.
Bye, y'all.
Mr. Roboto.